Hear these words from Psalm 121. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. Would you pray with me? Father God, this morning we have come into this place, some of us slowly and thoughtfully, and some of us barely made it in. Just the hustle and bustle of life has already found us on a Sunday. And yet we gather in this space at this time, and collectively we look upward. We lift our eyes to the hills. We lift our eyes to the skies. We lift our eyes beyond all of the circumstances that would try to hold us down. And we look to you, O God. And we acknowledge that all that we need comes from you. Your help is ours for the taking. Thank you, O God, that you are near. Thank you, O God, that you are generous in grace and in love and in strength. Would you know all of our needs this day and pour yourself into all of those places as we gather to lift high your name? We're here to worship you, O God. Would you be pleased by what happens in this space? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. This morning we conclude our series on relationships. Over the last 5 weeks, we've been looking at people that we need in all of our lives to be fully the people that God is calling us to be. And so we've met five different people that we've got to have in our lives. And the folks today don't really get a name. They're just disciples, it says. But they are the ones who remind us that whatever it is, the Lord needs it. Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 28. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that's never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'" Would you pray with me? Father God, once again, we turn to your word. Turn our hearts to these ancient words, believing that through your spirit they are living words, and that there is something that you want to speak in us, stir in us today. And so, Father, we're all ears. Our hearts are open and our hands as well. Would you help us hear what it is you want us to hear? And so you might help us be who it is you want us to be. So you might help us do what it is you want us to do. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, if you were here, you'll remember that we talked about needing folks in our lives who help us be a people who humbly receive. And right before we left, I stood up here and I prayed our benediction that God might surprise all of us with opportunities to receive all week long. And would you know, it wasn't maybe an hour later that I sat in Andy's car with Jimmy and Guy and me, and we're pulling into the Rainiers game, and this guy in the car next to us rolls his window down, leans out, and says, "Hey, do you guys have a free parking pass? Here's mine for the VIP section." And they took it, and I said, "You guys, this is like what I just prayed for." And I was all over the top excited. I was like, God did it. That was a surprise gift. And they didn't seem all that impressed. But I thought it was amazing. This little surprise thing that just said, receive. Did any of you allow yourselves to receive an unexpected gift last week? You did win clothes, a lot of clothes. Yeah. I hope you received some stuff. And in receiving, remembered that we are not God. And it is a joy to just be taken care of sometimes. Today, we're going to look at the other side of that same coin. And that is that we need people in our lives who also call us to generously give. Because you see, we can't just always be receiving. And we can't just always be giving and really be in any kind of real relationship with others. If we're one or the other, I can guarantee you we're not in a real relationship. But it's in this rhythm of humbly receiving and generously giving, that we find that we are sharing in the rhythm of Jesus, whose heart was relationship above all. So today, the question, who keeps you returning to that call to generously give? Who does that for you? This question's a no-brainer for parents in the room. Kids are really good at asking you to give and then give some more. Some of you parents, you have been known to eat candy bars in your closet because you know if the kids see you with that, they're going to become these little monsters until you surrender and hand it over. It's easier to just hide away or to just give it up and not even try. Parents give up their nice, cozy living rooms for Lego factories. They give up their favorite TV shows for Peppa Pig marathons. And their once coveted weekends for soccer games all over the place. Their 8 hours of uninterrupted sleep for I Had a Bad Dream Again. They give up their much-deserved summer vacation for negotiating screen time and paying way too much for a 3-year-old to ride in some teacups that they're never going to remember anyway. Parents know all about being generous givers, whether they want to be or not. But we all need people in our lives who call us into generosity again and again. I asked this morning, who does that for you? In this me-first world that we live in this hoard what you've got because there might not be enough to go around economy, generosity is what sets Jesus' people apart. Perhaps today more than ever. Who reminds you of that? Who in your life helps your heart be generous? In Coffee Talk on Thursday, we read a story in Matthew 14. It's a story where John the Baptist has just been beheaded. And Jesus is getting the word for the first time that his cousin, his dear friend, perhaps the one person on this earth who actually kind of got him, was gone. And in Matthew 14, it says, when Jesus heard this devastating news, he went off in a boat to be alone. Why? We asked, why would Jesus go off to be alone? Because he was human. And he was grieving, of course. Who doesn't want to be alone with your God when you get some news like that? But Matthew 14 goes on. It says, but the crowd saw him and they followed his boat from the shore. Can you picture that? Jesus alone trying to just weep before the Father, maybe 30 yards out into the water, and this horde of people's on the shore looking. Is that him? And there he is right there. He's right there. And as his boat moves, they move, pointing, following. What would you expect Jesus to do in this situation? I know what I want him to do. I, as a pastor who gets called on a lot, what I want him to do is I want him to call out and tell those folks that he needs some time to himself for a change. I want him to tell them to stop being so gosh darn needy and to see his needs for once. I want him to tell them to come back tomorrow. He's just taken like 24 hours for self-care. All of that would be fine with me, and I think it would be fine with you, right? Because Jesus was human, and Jesus' own needs mattered. And he does a little later in the chapter get off alone. But in this moment, when the crowds are there, Matthew says that Jesus, from his own sad place, saw the crowds, had compassion on them, and healed their sick. On his heaviest day on earth, in Jesus' very own time of great need, Jesus saw the crowds and had compassion about what was hurting them and healed them. Jesus let the crowds call him into generosity. He let the people call him to pour out his gifts for the good of others once again. Who does that for you? Who helps you look beyond your own little world, your own little heartache and disappointment, and helps you to see the needs of others? Who impresses you to step into those needs and actually give a care about them? Who invites you to be generous even when everything within you only really wants to look out for number one? Who does that for you? We've got to have those people. In Luke 16, Jesus tells a parable about a rich man, a very rich man, so rich that he lived in this beautiful gated community, and he wore purple robes every day, and he had the finest fare on his table, day in and day out. And at his gate was a poor man named Lazarus, who this rich man, it seems, passed right by every single day. And all that that poor man even hoped for on this earth was that he might get some crumbs from the rich man's table. And in this parable, the poor man dies. And then the rich man dies too. Death is still the great equalizer, isn't it? And the poor man, he's carried into Abraham's bosom. And there he's cared for all of eternity. And the rich man, he's in Hades. And he's tormented. And he sees these glimpses of Lazarus and Abraham together. And he calls out, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to me to bring me just a drop of water. He still sees Lazarus as below him. Isn't that crazy? Every single day, this rich man passed by Lazarus and had every chance in the world to pour out extravagant generosity upon him. He could have pulled up a seat at his table for him. He could have given him one of those robes to wear. He could have considered him a brother. Every day, a man sat outside his gate saying, see me. Be generous to me. And if the rich man had chosen to see and to hear that call and to act out on it generously, Luke seems to predict that his own soul would have been saved. Imagine that. We all need a Lazarus, one who calls us out of our great wealth. You're like, great wealth? Yeah, right. If you drove a car to church today, And if you spent more than $1 on all the food you ate yesterday, and if you had a roof over your head last night, that's going to be the same roof you have over your head tonight, then hear this, my friends. You are a person of great wealth in this world. You are. And if you are, we need the Lazarus who constantly calls us out and says, see me, hear my cries, and share what's been generously given to you for the sake of your soul. Share it with me. Wow. Who's your Lazarus? Who calls you to see the greater needs around you and generously respond to those needs? We've got to have a Lazarus. And yet there's another story about generosity. It's a story that I have preached so many times, at least once a year, for the last however many years. But it's one that I have never seen through the lens of generosity until this week. And that's why I love this living word. It's always speaking to us. And it's this story right there in Luke 19, that one that we read every Palm Sunday that kicks off Holy Week. Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem as he begins to walk towards the cross. And the story, it starts with two disciples. And Jesus tells them to go into the next village, to find a donkey that's never been ridden, to untie it, and bring it to him. And he says, if anyone asks what you're doing, just say, the Lord needs it. So the disciples did that. And sure enough, as they're untying someone's donkey, the owner says, can I help you guys? Is there a reason you're helping yourself to my donkey? It's a reasonable question. They said, the Lord needs it. And the very next verse just shows them bringing the donkey to Jesus. So I guess that simple word, the Lord needs it, was enough for the owner to say, well, then by all means, the Lord can have it. Take it. Who in your life points you to all those things that you keep tied up? Monies, gifts, wisdoms. And they say, see that right there? Right there. The Lord needs it. Those things you keep for yourself, the Lord needs it. Who does that for you? Notice this. It's out of generosity that God asks us for anything at all. Just God's asking is generosity on God's part. Follow me with this. Jesus, in this story, is asking for a favor. And it's totally absurd when you think about it. The God of the universe, right here in flesh among us, asked his disciples to go ask someone in another village if he might could borrow their donkey. God didn't have to get a donkey that way. Do you know that? This is the guy who said, let there be light, and poof, there was light. Heck, if Jesus wanted, he could have said that day before the disciples, let there be a donkey, and there would have been a donkey, and they would have been amazed. God could have gotten what God wanted in a way much more efficient than walking to another village and walking back again. And God could have gotten exactly what God wanted in a way much less awkward than untying some guy's donkey without even asking him first. And God could have gotten just what God wanted in a way much less risky for that owner of that donkey than letting probably his most prized possession walk off before his eyes. God could have. This wasn't God's only option for how to go about getting a donkey in this world. But our God's heart is generous. And that means that God wants nothing more than to share the good that he's doing in this world with us. He doesn't want to hoard that good and just keep it to himself. He actually wants to let us join in with him. And that's amazing. Jesus asked to borrow the very thing that he himself has created. That is absurd. Comical even. I don't know why we're not all laughing. I think it's amazing. That thing that I made, could I borrow it? Could I have your permission? If they ask why you're that, why they think that that thing that's theirs should be his, just say, the Lord needs it. Maybe that'll be enough to remind them that for Jesus' people, there's no such thing as their things. It's all the Lord's. All of it. Just say, the Lord needs it. Then they'll remember it's not theirs at all. Money, time, gifts of wisdom and experience, any bit of any of these things that any of us have today, they're really only there because God has been so very generous to us. All of them, gifts from God's heart for us. You're like, well, I worked hard for that. You had the ability to work hard for that. It's a gift from your generous God to you. We are nothing more than trustees on this earth to hold what is rightfully God's and to use it to share his good, generous heart with others. It all came from God. And if they ask why they should care about sharing it, just tell them the Lord needs it. That should be enough to get their permission to untie it all and let it go. Just tell them, the Lord needs it. A generous God asking to borrow what he has freely shared with us so we can freely share his heart with them. Just tell them, the Lord needs it. When those disciples come knocking on our doors, and we look out the window, and they're untying our things. Is that going to be enough? Just knowing the Lord needs it. They're knocking today. Is it enough? Who reminds you that none of this is yours for the keeping? All of it, a gift from our generous God, so we can join him in his good work. Who brings you back to that place, hearing again and again, hey, the Lord needs it. The Lord needs it. It's not even yours. The Lord needs it. Gotta have that person among us who does it for you. God initiates generosity by sharing everything that's good with us. And then notice this. I love this. Jesus rides into Jerusalem this day on the generosity of ordinary people. Jesus could have come to Jerusalem 1,000 different ways that day. He could have ordered all of the king's chariots to escort him into the great city. Heck, he could have come in on Air Force One. Really, he could have. Before there was ever a car seen, much less a plane, he could have flown down on this Boeing VC-25 and he could have parachuted out. That would have made some waves in Jerusalem, no doubt about it. Can you imagine? But that's not how Jesus entered Jerusalem on this final week of his journey. Instead, he sat upon a borrowed donkey and rode into town on the generosity of ordinary people. And you know what? I have this hunch that that's kind of how Jesus wants to ride into Belfair too. On the generosity of ordinary people sharing ordinary things they have to join the extraordinary work of God in our midst. Did you get that? I have a hunch that Jesus wants to ride into this place on the gifts of ordinary people sharing ordinary things they have to join the extraordinary heart of God as it pours out among us. It's a beautiful thought, and I don't think it's so far-fetched. I really don't. Think about this. This owner of this donkey just heard the Lord needs it, and he let it go just for a day. And yet it was an offering that left an entire city stirring, upside down. Everyone around was asking, who is this man that comes riding into our town on a donkey? Thousands of people on that day looked up and saw the Messiah right there in their midst. And it started all because some guy let two guys borrow his donkey because he heard the Lord needs it. Sometimes I hear people talk about the immense needs in Belfair. And I hear about how we're not a county seat, and heck, we're not even incorporated. So it can really feel next to impossible some days to get sufficient resources to meet these very real needs. It can be absolutely overwhelming. And all of these stories about how much need there is and how little help there is, it feels really real most days. I've said it myself probably not even that long ago. But you know, this morning, I feel like I have something much more spirit-led to say about all that. Blah, blah, blah. Really? Blah, blah, blah. Since when does the movement of God need big-name donors with big, flashy bank accounts to send over some big old check to make things happen in our midst? When did that ever happen in this story? When? Ordinary people giving up their ordinary lives. That has always been what's made the extraordinary work of God stir up entire communities and cities and, yes, even our world. Ordinary people giving up their ordinary lives for an extraordinary God. That's always been the change maker. Always. Just think about this with me for a second. Just think about the Jesus people gathering in each church in our community right now. I don't have any way of knowing how many that is, but I've got a hunch it's probably somewhere around 1,000 folks. And that's just the people, the Jesus people, who actually show up to worship on Labor Day weekend. Those who are Jesus people who are not in worship this morning, or who aren't even tied to a church at all, there's got to be several thousand in Belfair alone. No doubt about it. Several thousand ordinary people who love an extraordinary God. And a community of what? Like, we don't even know the number, but like 14,000-ish people maybe? And we've got several thousand who love this extraordinary Jesus. And we're the ones to say that the needs are just too much for the resources. Really? Really? What if all the Jesus people in Belfair, Washington decided to share their most ordinary things with the God of the universe? Thinking just maybe this God might could make waves with a borrowed donkey. So he just might could make waves with our spare bedrooms and our little tiny bits of extra cash and our one free hour in the week here and our one free hour in the week there of our skills poured out for others to receive. What if? What if the Jesus people of Mason County refuse to sit back and wait for Jesus to show up on Air Force One? What if the Jesus people of Mason County refuse to wait for Bill Gates to finally see us and send us a check, and instead opened up their own hearts to see what they have tied up and began to imagine how put in God's hands it might be used? What if we, right here, started to be the ones who made waves all over this place? What if we, right here, right now, had within us more than enough to stir up an entire town and turn every eye toward Jesus? What if we did? I believe with everything within me that we do. We do. When this room is full of Jesus people getting serious about giving it all to Jesus, I believe that we do. The Savior who rides into town on the generosity of ordinary people, who reminds you that the ordinary things you have are enough to make real waves and stir real hearts toward our King Jesus. We've got to have those people. These ordinary things, extraordinary when we turn them over to the care of God. Who reminds you of that? Oh, I hope there's someone. Finally, get this. And this is good. So if you're like totally bored, come back. Come back. This is good. Our generosity writes us into the story of God. In 3 of the 4 Gospels, this story of this owner who let his donkey go just because the Lord needed it is told again and again. For 2,000 years, this story of this guy who owned a donkey has been told as part of the Jesus story. Children have played this part in Easter plays. One person's story written into this beautiful God story just because of a simple, generous deed. Generosity writes you into God's story. There's another story. There's this widow who brings her very last pennies to the temple to give them to God. All she has, telling her, God, it's all yours. What she doesn't know is she's doing it in the presence of Jesus himself. And he sees it happen. And he tells his people around him, look at her. See her. Her story's going to be told as part of my story from this day on. And you guys sitting right here in Belfair, Washington in 2019 know about this widow and her little tiny mite, because her generosity made her story one with the God story. Wow. And then there's this little boy. There's this little boy. And there's this one ordinary day in his life. And he offers up a simple lunch, a few loaves, a few fish to Jesus. And that lunch in the hands of a good God, it fed over 5,000 people that day. That little boy's story became enmeshed with the God story from that day on. And you know this little boy. And it was just lunch given to Jesus. Joseph of Arimathea, what do you know about him? He gave Jesus his tomb. When Jesus died, he was the one who asked, could he lay in my tomb? Because he had this hunch that he had something, and maybe God needed it. All of these written into God's story because of simple acts of ordinary generosity. And God's story keeps being written, you guys, right here and right now. And we get written into it when we are available to whatever God's up to because of our generosity too. Because with open hands, all of our things that sometimes seem so very small, we're choosing to live lives that say about them, Lord, if you need it, it's all yours. Lord, all the stuff that I don't even say thanks for most days, if you need it, it's all yours. 500 years before this, the prophet Zechariah had said that the Messiah would come riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. 500 years earlier. And on this day, one person let their donkey be untied because the Lord needed it. And just like that, this ancient prophecy promised for God for these people was fulfilled. I wonder what God has promised for Belfair in the days to come. I wonder. And I wonder what we might dare to share that will be the very thing that makes God's promise move forward right here. Our stories, written in to God's story. Who in your life reminds you that that's even possible? Who invites you to see what you have and generously give it away so your story might join the movement of God? We've got to have those people who tell us again and again, see that, see that, see what you have, all that you have. Wow, hasn't God been so generous to you? Wow. You know why? Because God wants to share his heart through you. See all that, all that you call yours, it's not yours. Who says that to you? The Lord needs it. This is your chance to be written into God's story. The Lord needs it. Who says that to you? And when they say it, what do you do? Might I be that person today? My friends, listen in. You've got some stuff. You've got some stuff. Our God has been so good to you. See it. See it. Do you see how good God's been to you? Do you see it? Well, okay, well, I see it. Good, you guys, to bring a big smile to your face, remembering how good God's been to you. I don't get it when we're just like totally out of it. When we talk about how good God is, he's been so good. You know what? The Lord needs it. The Lord needs it. For your own soul's sake, the Lord needs it. For the hope of Belfair, Washington, the Lord needs it. For Jesus' work to move forth freely in this world, the Lord needs it. What do you have? And what will you do? Would you pray with me? God, you've been so good to us. Gosh, we sang it this morning a dozen times in one song. So good. And do we get so used to saying that we forget the beauty of the gift that you have been so good. Holy smokes, God. Your generous heart is too much to take in most days. You are so darn good to us. Thank you. You don't have to be. Thank you. And God, thank you that you don't just pour it out on us and then go and do all the cool stuff yourself. But that you're good enough to us. That you want to show us the greatest joy of all the joys. And that's the chance to partner with you in your good work going forth and your heart being known. There could be nothing better for our lives to be about. Thank you that you would trust us with that. Thank you, Jesus, that you would start your last week on earth on a borrowed donkey. Just some ordinary guy giving up an ordinary thing. And because of it, thousands of eyes saw the Messiah in their midst. God, we're a bunch of ordinary people. And we've got a bunch of ordinary things. Ordinary minutes in our days. Ordinary gifts of wisdom and experience. Pretty ordinary numbers tied to our bank accounts. And yet we know. In the hands of an extraordinary God, we could join in the greatest story being told among us. Let it be so, O God. Let it be so. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.